Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Father, please help us, Lord. We pray for your power, for your mercy. Lord, we pray that you please would just speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to be watchful, to be sober. The enemy, the devil, lurketh about. Lord, help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we already looked at the fact that we are to be sober-minded. We're not to be intoxicated with the cares of this life. Our minds are not to be intoxicated with the world. We're not to have a love for the world. We're not to be carried away with that. People think that intoxication or soberness has just to do with alcohol. No, it doesn't. It has to do with anything that would sway your mind or you would give yourself over to, you'd be intoxicated with, that would take you. You're not to be drunk with wine, whereas excess would be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the things of this world, with Hollywood, whatever it may be, movies and entertainment and sports and everything else, when you're filled with those things, you're drunk and intoxicated with those things, what do? That's all you talk about are those things. Amen. That's what happens. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll talk about the Lord. Amen. You'll talk about the things of God. You'll want to learn more about the Word of God. You'll want to preach the Bible to people. You want to tell the truth. So the apostle, he says here to be sober, to be vigilant. Why? What's the reason? Why must we be so sober? Why must we be so vigilant? Why must we be sober-minded and alert and awake and ready? Because your adversary, the devil. We have an enemy that most Christians seem to forget about. They don't remember that the devil is an enemy to the cause of Christ. He hates everything about Christ and His kingdom. He is the most wicked and diabolical enemy. We must never forget that sobriety of mind and watchfulness is of the utmost importance, because our enemy is looking to bring us down. You know, he is a lion that walketh about. He's a roaring lion, the Bible says. He's not a sleeping lion. He's a roaring lion. And he walketh about. What does that mean? It means he is lurking. He is looking at a way that he can bring you down. He wants to bring you down. What do you mean? He wants to spiritually bring you down. The devil would love nothing more than to ruin your life. He would love nothing more than to ruin your testimony. He would love nothing more than to ruin your marriage. He would love nothing more than to make you useless for God. To tempt you into sin so great that you'd fall so great that God would never use you again on this earth. He couldn't. That's the goal of the devil. He wants to devour you. But you have an adversary, the devil. This is the reason why you should be so sober and vigilant. You have an ever active, implacable, subtle enemy to contend with. He walketh about. He has access to you everywhere. He knows your feelings and your propensities and informs himself of all your circumstances. Only God can know more and do more than he. Therefore, your care must be cast upon God. He is the enemy of all righteousness. You have an enemy. You have to be sober, to be vigilant, because you have an enemy. You have an adversary, the devil. And he's a roaring lion. He is your enemy. Make no mistake about it. The day you were called, the day you answered the call to be born again, that you repented and trusted Christ, he became your enemy and he hates you. I know most people present the gospel as it's a cakewalk, not a war. Oh, just trust Christ and your life will be great. That doesn't work that way. You trust Christ and you're in the battle of your life. Amen. Because the gospel is a sword and it will cause division everywhere you go. Amen. It is. It's a sword. Jesus said, I came not for peace, but a sword. Amen? He talks about the father or the mother and the child, the mother-in-law and her daughter, all these, your family that they would war. Didn't he not say that? He warned you. He said, if you follow me and this is what's going to happen. Your dad's not going to like it. Your mom's not going to like it. Your sister's not going to like it. Your brother's not going to like it. Your family's not going to like it. You're not going to like it. They're going to hate it. Paul and Elimaeus, the wizard, Paul said Elimaeus, the wizard, that he was an enemy of all righteousness. That's the devil. He's the enemy of all righteousness. And he has demons. He has a kingdom like we talked about. We'll talk about it again sometime. But he has a kingdom. He has a spiritual kingdom that he battles with. And he has devils all over the place to battle you with. Your adversary, the devil, Satan envies our condition that we should enjoy that paradise that he left. The comforts he once had. Hence he disturbs us and is restless out of the infinite hatred of God and goodness. As the scorpion still puts forth his sting and as the leopard bears such a natural hatred against men that if he sees but a man's picture, he flies upon it and tears it. Satan is overcome, and yet he walks up and down seeking to devour. He commits the sin against the Holy Ghost every day and shall lie lowest in hell. Every soul that he drew thither by his temptation shall lie upon him and press him down as a millstone under the insupportable wrath of God. He is rendered the adversary, properly signifies an adversary at law against whom we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the just one. Who appears for us and to plead our cause. But the devil, the accuser, often makes that to be a treason to the saints. That is but petty larceny. In prosody, he makes us lay our hearts too near to it. In adversity, to lay it too near to our hearts, he is ever assaulting us. And is therefore called the tempter. Not lazy, but he's about his business constantly tempting you. But ever in motion for some mischief. Always looking for a way to bring you down. Always looking for a way to come into your family to destroy your family. Always. Why? Because he's your enemy. The devil is your enemy. He is the enemy of all God's people and he knows his days are numbered that he'll end up in the lake of fire. But he's going to do all he can to take as many with him as he can before he's done. Why? Because he hates man. And he hates the children of God. He is the enemy of God's people. We're warned in Ephesians 6 to get that armor on and be ready because it's a war. It's a war. Roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I was watching a video of a lion that had found a man in Africa, and he tore that man up. I mean, he tore him up. That's exactly what he wants to do to your life. He wants to tear your life up. You know, the devil, howbeit God's people play with the devil like he's some kind of a kitty cat. They flirt around with sin like the devil is some kind of a little cat that you can play with. That you can play games with. They underestimate his power. They underestimate his influence. They underestimate the tools that he uses. The devices that he uses. They underestimate that. We all do. We underestimate the devil's power. Take it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and Peter. The devil is nothing to play with. He's no one to play with. He desired to sift Peter like wheat. The devil was on Peter. He wanted to take Peter out of the picture. He's a roaring lion walking about. He's not chained in hell. He's not sleeping. He's walking about. You better wake up and understand that the devil is walking about. And he's looking constantly. He's not chained in hell. If you were camping and stuck in the woods somewhere and knew there was a lion walking about, would you go to sleep like there was nothing going on? Wouldn't you be ready for the danger? Wouldn't you be armored up and ready for the danger that was coming? Not Christians today, though. We're sleeping. Spiritually in a state of slumber that only Christ can wake you out of. Only the Word of God can wake you out of. Asleep to it. Don't see the signs and the wonders and the things that are going on right now. Asleep to it. Would you be able to take a nap, or would you be sober and serious and watchful and alert if you knew that that was coming? He's your accuser. He's he that maligns you, informs against you. He is the old accuser. And elsewhere, because of his accusing of God to man. In Job 1 verse 7, the Bible talks about him. He's subtle, the serpent. He's to beguile our senses, to pervert our judgment and enchant our imaginations. That's how he lurks about. That's how he walketh about. He comes as an angel of light to deceive us with false views of spiritual things, refinements in religion and presumption on the providence and grace of God. And he's a roaring lion to bear down on us and destroy us by violent opposition, persecution, and death. Thus he was acting towards the followers of God at Pontus, where now suffering a grievous persecution. You and I cannot walk around with a lion on the loose without our weapons or our armor. He'll devour us. His sole goal is to devour your testimony, is to steal your life on this earth and make you useless to God. Consider if you fall into sin, how it affects those around you. Consider how your life will be hurt and testimony damaged to those around you. Consider how he will devour your children. Do you understand that? If there was a lion lurking about or walking about, and you've seen that lion, you would warn your children. You would want to take and protect your children. But see, he is walking about now, and he's looking for a way. And he'll use whatever device he has to destroy your children. He'll use evolution to do it. Amen. He'll use state indoctrination to do it. He'll use false doctrine to do it. He'll use whatever means necessary to do it. He'll use Hollywood to do it. He'll use movies to do it. He'll use video games to do it. Whatever he can. Whatever will lull you to sleep so you're not watching. I'm amazed how some people believe that spiritually they can get through the day without the Word of God. Shame on you. Shame on a Christian who believes they can get through the day without the Word of God. That they don't pick the Bible up and read it, but they'll veg out on movies and videos and everything else, or books, and they'll read things all day long, and they'll do all these things, but they won't pick up that Bible. I'll tell you why you won't pick up that Bible. Because you're not sober-minded. And you don't want to be convicted by what it says to you. So you put it down and then you sit and boo-hoo and cry about why you don't have a spiritual walk with God. Is it really that surprising why you don't have a spiritual walk with God when you don't pick your Bible up and read it and learn from God and get some spiritual strength? It's your sword! There's a lion about! He is walking about seeking who may devour, and you're running around without a sword on. You're running around naked with no sword on. Just run around. Here's this lion. Here's this spiritual lion devouring you. What do you have? You got nothing. You just stand there and say, well, I won't do that. I won't fall into that sin. I won't do that. You're sitting there talking to the devil. He's a lion. The temptations of the devil come. And you're sitting there talking to, well, I won't fall into that. I won't do that. I won't go that far. Yeah, what are you doing? You're talking to the devil. You're using carnal. You're using carnality to try to fight the devil. You're using carnal weapons. Oh, that won't sway me. It won't make me go into sin. That won't make me go into sin. I would never go into sin. I mean, a movie or something like that wouldn't make me go into sin. Ah, yeah. You've played into the devil's hand. You've played right into it. Why? Because you're not fighting him with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. What are you fighting him with? Oh, your mighty carnal reasoning and your pride. What's he going to do? Oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. I'll be able to devour them. Why? Well, because they don't love God's word enough to use it, so I'll be able to devour them. Many of our children are destroyed because we've not been sober and vigilant. They've played video games and movies all the time, and Satan has walked about and used it to devour them. Their superheroes, which we'll talk about 1 week, have swayed their mind. They are not interested in the meek and lowly Christ. They are not looking, they're looking for magical powers. They want to see the magical stuff. They don't want to see Jesus Christ. They don't want to see the meek and lowly one come. What are they looking for? The signs and wonders from the devil? From the Antichrist? That's what they're looking for. We're living in times of wickedness, and we need to be sober and awake. There's a lion on the loose walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you were in charge of guarding a village, you would not be sleeping, would you? You'd be alert and ready, wouldn't you? If you knew that a lion was going to be in the camp. Why do God's people go out without their armor on? When there's a lion on the loose, they don't have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. They just like think they're dealing with a little kitty cat. Oh, I don't need my Bible today. I don't need it today. I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of stuff I'm doing. I don't need it today. I don't need to read and pray today. I don't need to do that today. I don't need that. I'm too busy. I got a lot of work to do today. So I don't need to grab the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and Satan won't get me today. He won't, he's not lurking about, he's not walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to devour me today. Oh really? How angry do you get at your children? Wonder why. Maybe because he used that against you? And you had nothing to fight him with. You had no sword of the Spirit. So you just got mad. So you didn't handle it spiritually. What'd you do? You fell for the devil's wily tricks. You just got angry. Maybe there's a temptation of something that came up and you couldn't fight it. Why? Well, you don't have your sword of the Spirit on. You're not using your sword. You have all these doubts and fears and devil oppression that comes. Yeah, listen, you could be... Listen, there's nothing ungodly about having devil oppression. You do understand that, don't you? I mean, they hate you. You do realize that, right? So for them to oppress you is not a strange thing. It's actually pretty common. Amen? They did it to Christ. You mean we're actually devils and demons would do that? Yeah. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? Yeah, sure as I believe Jesus battled and I believe I do too. Where do you think a thought comes that has nothing to do with your heart and it comes right into your head like that? You're like, I wasn't even thinking that. Where's that come? Where's that come from? I would never do that. Where in the world did that thought come from? The prince of the power of the air? The one that has access to your mind? Devils that have access to your mind? Your flesh is not saved. Your flesh can't be saved on this side. So what happens? He uses the flesh. And the more you walk in the flesh, the more he'll use the flesh against you. Why? Because he's a lion and he wants to devour you. He hates you. He doesn't like you. He hates everything you stand for and the God that you serve. But you think you're okay. I don't need my Bible. I don't need to pray. I've got too much going on right now. I'm just too busy for that. And the devil says, I understand, I know you're too busy, so let me use it against you, because I hate you, and you're too stupid to realize it. I know, that was a little rough, but it's true, okay? Because it happens to all of us. Amen. Amen! You can get mad as you want to, but it's the truth. We fall for the devil's tricks, don't we? We sure do. I look to myself and I think, how can I be so stupid to do that? Job chapter 2 and verse number 2 describes who the devil is. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan is about to tell the Lord what he's been doing. You know what it is? The same thing you're reading in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. What does he say? And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. What was he doing? He's looking to accuse you. He's walking up and down the earth looking for some guy that he can come to God and say, see that guy? We should kill him. He's terrible. See that believer right there? Oh, he don't really believe on you. You just protected him. Let me do something to him. all day, every day, walking about, seeking who we may devour, looking to devour you. Do you believe it? Or do you think things just happen by chance? You think those wicked thoughts that come into your head that and that those bad feelings that come in and all of those emotions and things like that that start to come, that stir up the flesh? Where do you think those come from? A lot of those. Sure, your heart deviseth wicked imaginations, that's true. But the devil also uses those, and he lurks about. And his devils lurk about, seeking whom they may devour. And you get all these doubts and fears and problems and concerns and jealousies and anger and bitterness and wrath and malice and all of those things. You know how you get all those? Oh, how do you handle fighting them? In the flesh. You fight them in the flesh. You fight the devil and his demons in the flesh. And then you lose. And you fall to it, and you get angry with people, and you get mean with people, and you treat people poorly, and you act like that. Why? Because you were tempted by the devil who's trying to destroy you, and you didn't take that sword out and stab him with it, and slice him up with it. You were playing with him. You were playing with a little kitty cat. You're just playing with it. That's all you're doing. You can't play with the devil. He'll devour you. Can you play with a lion? No. No. He's looking around for a believer, one of your children he can destroy. He's looking for that one that is flirting with sin, looking for the one who is proud, looking for the one who is not in the Word of God, looking for the one who is not studied to show themselves approved unto God, one that doesn't care about the Bible, one that only opens it up once in a while. And then wonders why they have no spiritual strength, they don't grow in the Lord, and they can't handle anything that comes their way. Why? Because you have no spiritual walk with God. You live in the flesh constantly. Do you really expect to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might when you're not strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Amen? How are you going to be? How are you and I going to be strong if we don't realize we have an enemy out there that's trying to destroy us? And he's doing a very good job of it. Because I'm seeing people fall every day. He's looking for the one who is unprotected. What does he want to do? He wants to devour you. I like this quote. Whom he may gulp down. It is not everyone that he can swallow down. Those who are sober and vigilant are proof against him. These he may not swallow down. Those who are drunken with the cares of this world, etc., and are unwatchful, these he may swallow down. There is a beauty in this verse and a striking opposition between the first and the last words, which I think have not been noticed. Be sober. Not to drink. Do not swallow down. If you swallow down strong drink down, the devil will swallow you down. Hear this, you drunkards, toppers and tipplers, or by whatsoever name you are known in society or among your fellow sinners, strong drink is not only the way to the devil, but the devil's way into you. Ye are such as the devil particularly may swallow down. He wants to destroy us, whether that's intoxication with the world, loving the world, and amusements, entertainment, whatever, or intoxication with liquor. You drink that in, and he'll drink you in. It's his way to get into your life. And he's always walking about. See, he doesn't sleep. When you're spiritually sleeping, he's not. He's working. He works. Look what he did to Job, how he wanted to devour Job. Look what he did to Job's life. Killed all his children, took all his money, took all his cattle, burned all his land down. If Job didn't have any spiritual life with God, he would have killed himself long before that. That's why you get a little of adversity in your life right now from the adversary, and you just want to die and give up. You want to be done with it. Why? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not noticing that you have a devouring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you as a roaring lion, so called both on account of his strength and also because of his rage. Oh, you better understand something. He's got a lot of strength, but he's got a lot of rage inside of him. The devil has a lot of rage. You see somebody that's devil-possessed, you see a lot of rage in them. Huh? I've seen it in some family members. I believe they're devil-possessed. I really honestly do. The rage that I see. See, how common is that? I don't know. I'm not God, but I know one thing. That rage, that absolute uncontrollable rage, is of the devil. I've seen it in some people that profess to be saved, but Judas professed to be saved too, and he had Satan in him. Ouch! I'm sorry, folks, but we are so foolish sometimes. We just believe everything everyone says without trying it. Amen? We just really got to try it by the book. Amen? We really do. As a roaring lion, so-called both on account of his strength and also because of his rage, malice, and cruelty. Because he breathes out against the saints who, though he cannot destroy them, will do all he can to terrify and affright them. Devil ever made you afraid? Crippled with fear? Oh yeah, devils can do that. Sure they can. They can make you crippled with fear. You mess with the devil, I guarantee you. You play around with the devil like that, you're going to get scared. You're no match to fight the devil. Amen! I don't care how spiritual you are, you're no match for the devil. Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, has to fight him. Not you and I. We can't fight the devil. It's like I had somebody make a comment that they would want to beat me up or something. And I used to fight, so, I mean, but I said I wouldn't lift a finger on them. I mean, I'll defend myself if I have to, but I wouldn't lift a finger to fight them. Why? I'll let God do it. If they threaten me, I'll go into my prayer closet and I won't sleep until it's done. And I promise you that. I believe, with all my heart, I believe he'll take care of it. I really do. He will do all he can to terrify and affright them. He walks to and fro in the earth as a lion runs about here and there when almost famished with hunger. And it also denotes the insidious methods, wiles, and stratagems Satan takes to surprise men and get an advantage of them. He takes a tour and comes around upon them, upon the back of them, at unawares, so that they have need to always be sober and upon their guard. Satan can enter in any way, any shape, any form that he wants to into your life to destroy it. He'll come through your children. He'll come through your family. He'll come through your wife. He'll come through your church. Amen. He'll come through by a guise of spiritual means to deceive. Marvel not that he comes as an angel of light. How many men have crept in unawares? How many men have been fooled? How many men have come in to fool? That had nothing to do with God. They didn't have a relationship with God. Oh, they went to church and they went to a Sunday school. But unto every good work, reprobate. The wiles of the devil, those tricks and those schemes, he's ever walking about. You may think you're strong. Take heed lest you fall. It may be a weakness, but better put a guard up on it. He's looking to devour it. That's so he might have something to accuse them of. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy your testimony of something to accuse you of. And they fall a prey into his hands. This is the work he is continually employed in. Don't you understand? He runs around all day trying to find something wrong with you so he can destroy you. This is the work he is continually employed in. He is always seeking to do mischief either to the souls or bodies or estates of men, especially the former, though he can do nothing in either respect without permission, not unless he may, and though this, with respect to the body and estate, is sometimes granted, as in the case of Job, yet never with respect to the souls of any of God's children, which are safe in Christ's hands and out of his reach, his hinders not, This hinders not but that saints that should be sober and watchful. See, we got to be sober, serious, and watchful. He wants to take us. It is His dying mission in life to destroy the people of God. Remember, this is written to the saved, not the lost. You remember that? He's not talking about the lost at the devouring lion. No, He's talking to you as Christians. He's saying to you that the devil is a roaring lion. He is your enemy, and he's a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. He's got no reason to destroy the lost. They're already going to go to hell. He's that old wicked serpent, that old devil, that old adversary. He uses temptation. He's the master at the human mind and heart. He knows just how to manipulate it. He knows how to do what he wants it to do. We just give him enough influence on us and he'll win the victory and devour us. He constantly walks about seeking whom he may devour. We are called on to be sober, to be vigilant, to be awake, because we have an enemy. And we take that enemy for granted too much. We overlook things too much in our lives. We leave doors open for him to come through. Amen? We leave situations open for him to come through. We leave areas of our life unguarded. Amen? I want you to understand that this enemy is the hater of all righteousness. He hates the stand for God. He hates everything. And what we have to understand is this enemy, no, it's not talking about a literal lion. It's talking about a spiritual lion. It's discussing a spiritual lion that lurketh about. That's why the Bible is very clear. Again, you've heard these verses before. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You've got to have it on. We're going to talk about that the next hour of how to defeat the devil, how to defeat him in your life, how to destroy that influence in your life when it comes up. But he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his wily work. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But again, you and I believe we do for some reason. We believe the battle is just flesh and blood. It's just that problem. No, the problems are spiritual problems. Do you understand that? When you get mad and angry, can't control yourself, jealous, all of those are spiritual problems. When you succumb to the devil, when you fall prey to him, when you fall prey to temptation, those are spiritual problems. When the devil uses somebody in your life against you, those are spiritual problems that person has. If they're saved people, if they're lost, it's because they're lost. If they're saved, it's because there's a spiritual situation. There's a spiritual problem there. And the devil knows how to use those things. But you and I think again that we're wrestling against that flesh and blood. No, you have a spiritual enemy that hates you. And he's not bound by this world. Do you understand that? He's not bound by gravity. He's not bound by the same rules you and I are. He doesn't live the same way you and I. He lives in a spiritual dimension where he can fight you. Amen. And he can creep into your mind and he can put things in your mind and he can bother and afflict the conscience of a man and he can try to destroy and devour it. He can bring you down because he's walking about in a spiritual world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, we underestimate this armor way too much. We're going to talk about it the next hour, but we underestimate this spiritual armor way too much. And we don't think we need to put it on. You underestimate the power of the Word of God way too much. You just underestimate it. You underestimate the value. You and I underestimate the value of the Word of God in our lives way too much. Let me ask you a question. Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been praying? Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been in your Bible every day? Have you been feasting on God's Word every day? Have you had that sword out? Or do you have other things you have to do? No, you have to get into God's Word every day. That's what you have to do. Amen. You say, is it more important than anything? Yes, it is. It is. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to teach your children the importance of the Word of God when you don't even read it? What kind of example are you setting for people, for your children, if they don't know you're in the Word of God? What kind of example are you setting for other Christians? What kind of example are you setting when you're not in the Word of God yourself? You think that all the teaching that you do separately from your example is going to make a difference? When your children know that you don't lean on God's Word, do you think it's going to make a difference? Folks, you got to understand, this is a spiritual battle we're facing. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith through which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul's very clear here. We have an enemy. And you and I, if we don't put this armor on, we're walking about and he's devouring people. He's devouring their testimonies. He's devouring their lives. He's devouring their families are being destroyed. Their marriages are being destroyed. Why? Because we don't realize we have an enemy. I want to ask you a question. Do you hate the devil, sin, and wickedness, and his kingdom as much as he hates you? Good question, isn't it? Do you hate the devil as much as he hates you? Honestly, I don't think we do. When we can flirt around with sin and temptation, I don't think we hate him as much as he hates us. Amen? We don't hate him as much as he hates us. There's a roaring lion, and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he is coming everywhere. And we don't hate him like he hates us. See, that lion wants to kill you. That lion wants to devour you. And you think you're going to play with him with catnip. And he's going to destroy you. You think you can play around with him, he's going to destroy you. See, he hates you. He wants to destroy you. You're not sure. You're like, well, you know, he's got some ways about him that are bad, but I still let him in to tempt me. I still let him in to mess with me. Now, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. Amen? I still entertain his temptations. I still leave a door open for him to come into my life. Do we hate him as much as he hates us? Is he our enemy? I mean, do we recognize him as our enemy? Do we recognize the ferociousness of our enemy, how ferocious he is? Do we recognize how diabolically evil he is? Do we recognize that? I wonder if we do. I wonder if we acknowledge it. Because when I hear thoughts of people today and some of the things that I hear, just like preaching about Hollywood and everything else and how angry people get at that, the reaction to that, I think to myself, you know, we're getting mad because somebody's preaching on something that is wicked, that's in the hands of Satan himself, that he has orchestrated it like a master puppet. Right? He's orchestrated like a master puppet. Many of these actors are demon-possessed. They preach the Gnosticism. They preach a false gospel. They preach against Christ. But we're not angry at that. We're angry because somebody told us it's wrong for us to watch it. So what we're saying is, oh, that lion's not that ferocious. I mean, he's scary, but he's not that scary. I mean, we don't like him, but I mean, you know, some of his ways are okay. Well, we've accepted some of his ways. We've blended some of his ways into our ways. So what have we said then? We're not scared of him because he's subtle. And through craftiness and through subtlety, he's deceived us. And that's his game. And then he moves in to devour us. Haven't you ever heard it? Oh, one look at pornography, you know, won't do much to me. Going to the beach won't bother me. Doing this, letting my children watch this, it won't cause them to sin. Really? And that's right where the devil wants you, because he's walking about and he's saying, I got him right where I want him. And just as soon as they take that watchful eye off just a little bit, they're already drunk and they're not watching. So they just need to be a little more intoxicated by the things of this world, just a little bit more, and I'll make my move to come in and devour them. And I'll destroy them.